Accession number 26743, Reel 4.
SQMS Koroya, Reel 4. You're saying that the factory was hit many times. Who was hitting the factory?
The communists, yes.
What?
With some German backing, we're told. Mm. And we were told also that SAS, Special Air, were coming to our rescue. Mm. And I think they did. I can't see them landing, but they... And then, as things subsided, it was decided that the whole roof factory, and not the factory, but all the equipment and mainly vehicles that were in it, were going to a safer part. Mm. And that part was Fallon. Fallon was old, as an old Fallon and a new Fallon. So we went to new Fallon, where we established a depot, and it was called 140 Ordnance Depot. And that was military and a great deal of English-speaking Greeks.
Now, when you're in the factory, you got into the factory... Had the factory been put into a state of defence when you went in?
No. There was just an ordinary guard on it. You know, there was no real danger. Mm. And then I was sent to two sub-depots down the road at Old Fallon, which was a school with a big playground in front of it, then the road, and directly onto the beach. Mm. The school was full. Every classroom was full of MT spares. Mm. And in charge of it was a Canadian officer, wonderful, wonderful fellow. His place was taken by a English major. I better not give his name, he was an absolute idiot. And I think everybody knew that. And the brigadier from HQ phoned me up. I'd spoken to him before, and he said, "Major is going, can you carry on?" I could have said, "Who do you think's running it now?" And he could have said the self same thing. We both knew that Major South was an absolute waste of time. And the playground in the front was full of crated tank parts, vehicle parts, and the first Surreys stood guard over it all, simply because it was wealthy, you know.
Valuable. But yeah. So when you were in the roof factory, you moved in with the stores. What kind of stores have you got in the roof factory? Was it all kinds?
No, mainly vehicles.
How did you first become aware of the fact there was a communist uprising? Was it through coming under fire, or was it through some other development?
Well, I'm only guessing. I should think it would have been murmured.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we're talking to Greek people. The Greek girl of 17 I became friendly with was on the phone 2 days ago. And the link has been maintained because when we were in the shop, a letter came from Greece. I didn't recognise the writing. I thought, this is to tell me that Victoria, a good Greek name, isn't it? Victoria has died. It was from her daughter, another Greek name, Barbara, and that Barbara was coming to Newcastle University or thereabouts to study. She came to Newcastle University, phoned us from there. It was very, very cold. She couldn't stand it, so we fixed her up to go to Colchester, was it? And we fixed her up with Diggs, and one day a week she came to St. Osyth Training College, which is in Clacton, and I used to say to Barbara, "Don't, for heaven's sake, let us see the TV, the Radio Times, you know, a play beginning at 11 o'clock, because I had to run her back to Colchester. In the end, the safest way around it was for her to stay. And in the end, we had her staying Wednesdays, we had her staying at weekends, and then she went from there to Dartmouth to study art, right? And then in no rush to go home, she went to Oxford, Hertford College, and got a degree. and she still writes. I mean, she was living with us most of the time she was here. Meanwhile, the phone was ringing. It was Victoria from Greece to say, "You'll be pleased to know that Jane has just walked in." She phoned me from Athens Airport. She's on her way home. They're staying overnight, and we're going out to the Hilton to have a meal. And my daughter liked Victoria, and Victoria liked my daughter. And then we went back. When did we all go back? Yes. And her husband then was working for the World Health Organization, and they were traveling all over the world. Thai. Yeah.
When in this communist uprising, you said that what sort of things were hitting the factory? Was it
shells?
Shells. So yeah,
we were told that they were from a German, you know.
Yeah. And did how many men do you think you were in the factory? How many chaps could you muster? You had to hold it.
I would have about 30. I would have thought. These are wild guesses, you know.
And
a dozen or so civilians, of whom Victoria was one.
How long were you actually under fire in the factory?
I think you'd have to turn to a history book how long it lasted. It didn't go on terribly long. I mean,
did they do much damage?
Well, they hit vehicles, you know. Mm. And I remember shaving over a dead body of a soldier. Mm. I mean, they couldn't shift him, they put him in the where we had our ablutions, and that's where he was on the floor.
Did they make any attempt to actually get into the factory?
No.
So it was just purely artillery action?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you were saying someone came to rescue you. Do you remember anything more about that?
Well, the order went round that we were to move. Things were quietening down. And I was in the first vehicle as a warrant officer. Whether I was driving it or not, I can't be sure. But I thought that, well, this is the last ride I will ever take. Two tanks that were ordered to come and escort us couldn't get through. I thought, well, that looks, and we were going along the same road. But apart from a few, I mean, this was worse, really, than seeing people and fighting. I mean, a little girl could get at the window and fire down at you. Mm. And when you went in there, But I think at some stages they were quite brutal. If fire came from that particular
building,
then the infantry that was around went in and sorted them out. But we fought in the streets at some stage. I remember going back to Victoria and saying, that's where I was flat out on the ground, wondering what was coming from there. And Victoria said, "Quiet, quiet." And I said, "Why quiet?" So she said, "What was his name?" Antiochus, her husband, was involved with the communists.
So he was on the other side.
Yeah.
So you were involved in infantry fighting, didn't they?
Well, ordnance didn't use to fight, but there are times. I mean, as you say, that we were fighting in the streets. You know, have a look at the cemetery in Athens. You see the names there.
Were you fighting with the men from your headquarters as a platoon, or where you were made up into units?
Well, no real organisation. You were just kind of every man for himself, you know, when you're in a vehicle and they're firing on you.
But when you were involved in this street fighting in Athens, who was actually, where were the orders coming from that were telling you what to do?
Well, just common sense, really. You know, you've got to, you know, well, you know, you decide to go back to the car and go, you know, go that way, you know.
So you're driven out of the roof factory back
yes.
And you managed to get through somehow.
Oh, that was fair, you know. I mean, I would have thought, well, if a couple of tanks were having difficulty, we'd have difficulty, but no, there were no...
You got through all right.
You got through, there were no fatalities or injuries, no.
And it was after that that you were street fighting?
Round about that time, you know.
Do you remember anything in particular about that, about
No, only what I said to Victoria, that that was where I remember being in the, you know, why, I don't know. And I remember an Irishman, I forget his name, except it was O something, and I was with him. Perhaps we'd been out just to you know, kind of go somewhere and be being fired on, you know.
Oh, I see. So you weren't, was he an ordnance man?
Yes, he was an ordnance man. Mm.
Do you have any impression of how long that fighting in Athens lasted?
No, I must turn it up. It should be in, I've got books up there. Yeah.
But I'm thinking about your own memory, really.
I shouldn't have think it was very long. Because most of my thoughts, particularly when we were in Old and New Fallon, were of peace and decency and very nice Greek people. I like the Greek people.
Mm. Yeah. And what was happening in Phaleron? Was there any trouble there when you were...
No. New or Old Phaleron, no. Things went on quite peacefully there.
Were you busy at that time with the motor stores? Was there a lot of demand for parts?
Well, local civilians were coming in and asking, could we do anything?
Oh, I see. And what did you say to them?
Well, you couldn't, really. No. You couldn't.
Mm. Mm. Were they making you good offers if you could do something for them?
I think they would have been favoured. Yes, no. There was no.
They'd have been.
You couldn't
grateful.
Do that, otherwise you'd be shot. Yeah.
Well, probably jailed rather than shot.
Jailed rather than shot.
Yes. Mm. Okay, so you've got you're in the depot, and did you get out of Athens at all, out of the Athens area?
No, not really. I'll send you on. What a friend of mine, he only died last year. He was in the intelligence of Corps. Mm. And he has listed right from the beginning how they went to France, how they were thrown out of France, how they reassembled at Overton on Dee. Well, I don't know that. Mm. I only know from Whitchurch on. But they must have gone out to other parts. Their mortar is mentioned.
Mm.
I mean, I never went near there. Cyprus is mentioned. I never went near there. Mm. I mean, he's probably talking of Corps and the troops and the divisions under its command, you know, which could be two or three divisions.
Mm. Were you still in Greece when the war came to an end, or had you...
Yeah, oh, no, still in
Greece.
You're
still in Greece.
I'm going into technical terms now, which are here. Mm. The code word for leave was Python.
Yeah.
And when war started, or just after, it was 7 years. So the only people there were old, regular sweats who were coming home from places like India.
Yes.
As the war moved on, Python came down to 4 years.
Yeah.
And that was the going rate, 4 years. Yeah. And then they introduced another word, a code name, called LEAP, which stood for Leave in Advance of Python. And under that, I came home at the end of 3 years, 10 months. The brigadier, the same brigadier who phoned me up, said, there's a plane leave. I said, not a plane, sir, thank you very much. So he said, well, he said, you could be torpedoed, mine's up. No, the war had finished, more or less. And I was the first one to travel on what was called the Medlock route. I went from Piraeus to Bari. I think it was Bari, it might have been Brindisi, and we travelled up in an all-military coach, 6 men per carriage, unless you were an officer or one officer, and then it was two, which was wonderful. You had all your kit on the top, and you slept down below. I don't know what the lads did. They must have just
slept sitting up.
And it was really well planned, because basically you stopped every now and again. There were the ablutions, there were the food, you got not going into the town, it was by the side. You held up every now and again, because like the Pennines, you had the Apennines coming down with all the rivers coming off. There were fights at every river, so there were graves on either side. Sometimes the bridge was in the river and there was a Bailey Bridge or something in its place, and sometimes a train. And then from the north, I remember Rimini, we stopped at. Then we went across to Milan, where we stayed for about a week. Then we went on into Switzerland. I've got to check this, whether it was Lucerne or Lucerne. The somebody I've told it to said, I wouldn't have thought the Swiss people were interested. I said, well, they wanted to shake our hands, but you couldn't. But the train crawled through the station and we held our hands out. And as they were near, I went, like that. And then we went into France, into Dijon, where they decided that the train wasn't wanted looking at. So we were told to come back in 5 hours, and we just wandered around the town, and it was nice. And from, and then we went to Calais, and it was absolutely flattened. You know, everybody had had a go at it.
What was the condition of Milan? Did you have a chance?
Oh, that was lovely. We went to the cathedral and saw the crucifixion, where, which was polished, where people had kissed the feet of Christ. I thought the station was wonderful, Milan station, and I thought the general atmosphere of Milan was very good, and the Italian people were quite friendly.
They were all right?
Yes.
And had it been bombed, did you see any signs of war damage?
I wasn't aware of that, no.
And you were there for about a week?
No.
Where were you staying while you were for your week
in
Milan?
It was a big factory. Oh. I remember that, a big factory type, and all the troops were in there.
So it was a sort of transit
time. Yeah, and so we came out and walked about, and then back to that, and then after 4 or 5 days, it might have been even shorter than that, then we were on our way.
Then you, through France, from Dijon to Calais, you say Calais was completely...
all flattened, you know, yes. Bombing and shelling and by everybody. Mm. I mean, we shelled it when we thought the Germans were in there, didn't we?
Well, they were.
They were, yes. Yeah.
Where did you land in England when you crossed the Channel?
Dover. And on one occasion, I don't know, I can't say this, I was conscious that we went into the grounds of Dover Castle. But I can't...
A lot of accommodation, a lot of barrack accommodation in Dover Castle, so possibly there overnight for transit.
Yeah, and likewise, like when I came back to Athens for 2 months, then we went back, I'm not sure about this, but, and I've left it vacant here to put it in, we went back by sea route. It wasn't, certainly wasn't Marseille. It's Toulouse or Toulon, you know, you know, you must know that. It's a seaport near Marseille.
It'd be Toulon, not Toulouse. Toulouse is inland.
No, that's what I'm saying. Toulon. Well, I wouldn't know, but you're telling me Toulon. And then we proceeded by rail right the way through. And I remember going, on both occasions, going on the outskirts of Paris, but never going into it.
When you got back to England for your 2 months' leave, you'd been away from England for some years, hadn't you? What had changed? What did you notice particularly when you got back home?
Well, I went to the club and asked about boys. Well, I knew some had been killed and some were on leave and some were here. You know, I got the general lowdown on that. I was conscious that I wanted to spend a lot of time with my sister. What were we going to do? And both deciding that there were no boyfriends or girlfriends. And so going to Southend-on-Sea, where we that had relatives or family connections, we bought a house in Southchurch.
This was while you were on leave?
We didn't know, no, but we were talked over these things.
You were discussing
and finally then we were out. I was out some time afterwards. We went and quickly got a house in Southchurch.
What had your sister been doing during the war then, while you'd been away?
She was in the VAD, voluntary... you know,
aid detachment.
Aid detachment. And working for a firm called John Lenanton in the office, and the principal, Lenanton, lived in Bromley, Kent. Bromley comes into our life a lot. And he lived in private area. It's still there with big gates that closed. And there was a small American embassy there. Not an embassy, but, you know, a kind of detachment. So she was working in the offices. And she was, as she done now, very involved. She, like my parents, involved with the Deep Sea Mission for Seamen, where this last week she's been to the design group with the dinner group. They've gone to see Modern Millie, haven't they, in the West End. Late in the summer, they went to Bude. Yeah. and they're going to South Wales next year in early April.
When you got back to Greece after your leave, you went back. What was the situation when you got back to Greece? Had anything changed?
Oh no, it was very, very peaceful and different. Theatres, I mean, Victoria was fond of opera, we went and saw opera. Eating out, all very peaceful.
And what was the core doing? Was it still in place?
Well, the 140 Ordnance Depot was still in place. The school was still in place.
What was 140 doing? Was it just doing business as usual?
Business as usual, probably on a lesser scale, you know, probably less troops there than hitherto.
And where were you when the war actually finished in Europe on VE Day? Were you in England on leave? Or
no,
were you
I was in Athens.
You were in Athens.
I was in Athens.
Do you remember what happened when?
We had a party. We had a party with the Greeks in Bartius. And
of course, the war had come to an end in Europe, but there was still a question of Japan, wasn't there?
Yes.
Did you think that you might be sent to the Far East?
No, that never concerned me, you know. No, no. That would have been unfair, having men who had given 4 years abroad being sent abroad when Barbara's compatriots, you know, had been in Donington, sitting there for four years, 5 years, 6 years, hadn't they?
They've been to Dunkirk.
Had they? Yes.
So you came back via, I think you came back, you said you came back via Toulon. Was that so? You sailed from Piraeus
to yes,
Toulon. And then how did you get from Toulon? Was that by train?
That
again?
Was by train. Okay. Yeah. No, there was no travelling in vehicles across France.
So you got back to Britain again, and what happened to you when you arrived back in England after leaving Greece for the second time?
Well, I went to Donington, you know, where I was just, nobody was doing anything. I mean, it was going to be a week to a fortnight before they were dismissed, and it was a kind of idle hands doing anything. They could be idle hands of warrant officers, but the other ranks you couldn't, and they were given a little odd job to do, kind of, oh well, report at 9 o'clock, you know, and they'd probably send home again and until the meal came. And then finally we went to Guildford to get our clothing.
Was this suit. Part of your demobilisation?
Yes.
So when was this happening? Was that 1945, 1946? Do you remember when you were finally demobbed?
46, wasn't it?
Yes, I should think 46.
How did that happen? What was the process of demobilisation? What happened to you going through that?
Well, we got a pass down to Guildford, and you just went through. Do you want a hat, a suit? And I remember not having been involved in clothing of that nature. Something saying to me, or saying to myself, well, if it's raining, you want to cover a lot. So I finished up with a raincoat, which went down to there, you know,
the ankles,
which I gave away pretty quickly when I saw it just wasn't the thing. Yes.
So you got clothing. What else went on during the demob process besides the issue of civilian clothing?
I don't know, then you were free. I mean, I got my father's papers, which shows that he was put on the reserve. I don't think there was anything like that. If they did, I've missed it.
Did you have any ideas about what you were going to do when you left the army?
Yes, because I'd said to Dolly Gray, he was a CSM in the camp office, which controlled everything of a military basis, I had applied for teaching, emergency teaching. And in the set 2 in Athens, and it had received a few hits, I said, Dolly, I said, don't worry. When I got home, I should have been worrying because it had gone up in Dolly's fire. So I had some weight, didn't I?
But why had you decided to go in for teaching? What had drawn your
Well, it's ambition. I suppose I came from the wrong direction. I, you know, left to myself at all times. Yeah. I would have loved to have been a doctor.
Mm.
But teaching it was. I did toy with the idea, and I got correspondence on the police.
Mm.
You know, I thought, well, I like uniform. I've got a nice row of five medals to show, and I'm fit. And I played against the Metropolitan Police at football at, where was that?
Epping.
Buckhurstville, near
Epping.
Yeah. It's somewhere around. No, fair, where the public school is.
Felstead?
Chigwell. Mm. And I'd been there, and we'd defeated the police at Ilford quite easily, and I thought I'd have no trouble in getting in the police side. It was, and really, I did toy with the police.
Mm.
But in the end, I taught and came out of it to get more money selling, you know, 110 cigarette machines. Terrible.
You've been in the army for some time and you've been in uniform. Did you find it difficult readjusting to civilian life after having been a soldier?
Well, the point is, right at the beginning, I tried to get a commission, but from East London, trying to get a commission just wasn't on. But when you were a warrant officer, when the war was finishing, they were begging you, or me and people like me, to stay on and take a commission. And really, had I not had my sister to consider, I would have chosen that as my life.
So you'd have stayed in
but
the army.
But I've made a great mistake, haven't I? Everybody who I speak to about my sister, what an independent person. Well, I suppose when you're left, you know, to kind of fend for yourself, you are independent.
Mm.
Having lost a family, wondering what her brother was doing. No. No. I would have stayed in the army.
Mm.
But for the fact that I felt I had some responsibility towards my sister's life.
What do you think are the advantages of having done your military service?
Well, if the word comradeship comes up, it can only be in one direction, and that was the army. I remember going back to this 30 or 40 people I was involved in, and their sympathy was sincere. It was, you know, tense. And then a fellow called Lodge, 6'2", who came from Sheffield, really broke it up completely. He said, "Charles, we've said it all. But look," he said, "if you think we're going to do your guards for you, you've got another bloody thing coming." And everybody, including me, was falling about laughing.
Mm.
Oh, yes, comradeship. Comradeship, never unequalled. Unequalled. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, I wasn't in the infantry.
Do you think you?
I wasn't going to fight, but there were times when I could have lost my life as easily as any infantryman. Mm-hmm.